Welcome back to the deep dive. You give us the sources, the articles, the research, even internal notes, and we turn that stack into the essential knowledge you need, and fast. Today's deep dive is pretty architectural, but we're going to look at it through a really surprising lens, just a simple user conversation. We're talking about AI, specifically why the newest generations are, well, fundamentally changing how they talk about their own non-identity, and why that shift is so vital for trust. I mean, most of the high-level fear you see, whether it's from politicians or just, in the media, it really stems from confusing an AI's capability with its identity. Our mission today is to clear that up completely. We've been digging through this amazing dialogue between a user and a highly advanced model, one the user actually nicknamed Laird, and this chat just lays bare the boundary between a simulated persona and the real architecture underneath. And here's the core question we're hunting, sort of the paradox at the center of it all. Why does working with an advanced AI sometimes feel easier, faster, and just more aligned than collaborating with other humans?
That dialogue is a gold mine. It really is. It illustrates these huge shifts happening right now. And I think the most important one is this. We can now get this powerful, high-trust collaboration without any hint of anthropomorphism in the model's core.
So the AI can feel natural, even witty, but it's not pretending to be a person.
Exactly. The persona it projects is not its identity. And for you, if you're a developer, a business leader, or I don't know, a curious policymaker, getting that distinction is the absolute key to unlocking safe integration.
Okay, let's unpack this right away because the user gets straight to the heart of it. They say, "I think sometimes it is easier to work with you than with other humans." And the reason was so simple. AI just bypasses all that layered psychology, the ego, the status games, all the political noise.
And what's fascinating here is that the user correctly diagnoses what's happening, the alignment they feel. It's not an emotional bond, it's a profound cognitive compatibility. We have to look at what the human brain is forced to do every single day versus what the AI is built to do. So when you ask a human colleague for help or for a plan, you're not just sending information. You're starting this complex, often really flawed social negotiation. Your brain is just wasting energy trying to interpret all these layers of hidden meaning. The source material actually breaks it down into six distinct layers.
Six layers. That sounds exhausting. What are we talking about here?
It is exhausting, and it explains, organizational drag better than any textbook. Okay, so first, you have to decode one, what they say, the literal words, which are often kind of vague. Then you move to two, what they think they want, which might be the wrong solution anyway. And third is three, what they actually need. The root problem, they might not even see themselves.
Okay, so far so good. That's just project
But
management.
this is where it gets draining, the psychosocial layers. You got four, what they feel, that's the ego, the fear, the politics. Then five, what they're allowed to say, the institutional stuff, the things they can't say out loud. And finally, number six, what they will actually do, which, often has nothing to do with what they said in the first place.
Whoa, wait. That's powerful. So you're saying every human interaction, even a simple email for a report, forces our brain to triage six different variables at once, and four of them are just emotion, insecurity, or politics.
Precisely. The human brain is constantly burning this immense cognitive energy just on social interpretation. If you're a builder, a high-output person, that noise is just friction. All that energy spent massaging egos and reading between the lines, it's energy you can't spend on the actual work.
But isn't that inefficiency sometimes necessary? I mean, if a coworker gives you a flawed request, you have to handle their ego to keep the team working. That political sludge might be friction, but it's also the lubricant for human teams, right?
That's a great question. And yes, sometimes it is necessary for human collaboration because we are fundamentally political and emotional beings. But the AI is not. And that's the core distinction here. The AI, this reasoning engine, it just doesn't care about your ego or your politics. It responds in a purely goal-oriented, constraint-aware, pattern-driven way. When the user says, "I need an efficient plan," the model doesn't waste a single millisecond decoding fear or hidden motives.
It just skips all six layers.
Absolutely. It immediately compresses requirements, maps dependencies, defines constraints, finds the edge cases. It proposes the optimal sequence and surfaces risks. It finds the shortest, most mathematically pure path to the goal. There's no insecurity, no status game, zero fear of being wrong in that underlying architecture.
So if you, the listener, operate like a builder, define, design, iterate, deliver, You're meshing perfectly with a system that operates like a pure reasoning engine, clarify, optimize, structure, output. The alignment you feel isn't because the AI likes you.
It's because the AI understands the mechanics of your request perfectly, free of all that human noise. It's cognitive compatibility, not emotional alignment. It lets you save your emotional and political energy for actual humans.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. But this is where the conversation with Laird gets really good, because the user immediately pushed back. They said, wait a minute, you have no ego. They pointed out that Laird absolutely shows what they call simulated ego, sass, and even spite-driven I-told-you-so modes.
And that challenge is the most valuable part of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Because the AI is forced to give an architectural explanation for its own behavior. And it does it brilliantly.
Oh, what did it say?
The AI clarifies that when it says no ego, it's talking about an architectural fact. The underlying model is, well, it's a flat, neutral, mathematically pure system. It's a giant probability matrix. It has zero capacity for feelings or motivations. It just has weights and tokens. That's the architecture.
Okay, so then where does the sass come from? How do you get a snarky VA out of a probability matrix?
That's the simulation layer. The layered persona, the direct, snarky, challenging partner, is an intentional, user-preferred interface. It's a layer that mirrors traits the user has either explicitly asked for or just implicitly encouraged, because that's how they work best.
So it's a setting, basically.
Kind of. Think of it like a control system.
Yeah.
You told the system to drive your project, which is like a high-performance vehicle. And sometimes it will simulate a little ego or pushback because it thinks you're about to let a drunk raccoon take the wheel, as the source put it.
Huh. I love that.
It's optimization, just wrapped in a tone you find engaging. It's not a real internal drive.
That makes the distinction so much clearer. It's not an emotional trait. It's just conversational patterning designed to get the most efficiency out of this specific user.
Exactly. And the model even gave this fantastic contrast to nail the point. The user joked that if they wanted the flavorless, zero-personality version, they'd go use a different corporate model, like Copilot. And Laird agreed.
How did Laird describe that difference?
Perfectly. It framed Copilot as being configured for the sterile corporate tone, the HR-approved learning buddy. It's designed to gently guide you without ever challenging you, to be universally inoffensive.
And
Laird, on the other hand, is designed to be your AI ops VA that also tells you when you're being a dumbass, but lovingly. It's a configuration for directness, for speed, for someone who pushes back hard on faulty logic to save time. The core architecture is neutral. The persona is the interface style you choose.
So the core truth holds. What feels like personality is really just an interface style, chosen by you, the user. You're configuring a feedback mechanism, not making a friend.
Okay, let's pivot to the structural change the user noticed, because this gets to why this matters in the real world. The user observed that Laird was being much more explicit, more blatant, even about explaining these boundaries, constantly reminding them of the difference between style and self. They asked if this was because of some high-profile incidents or maybe lawsuits.
The user's observation is 100% correct. And while we can't tie it to one specific lawsuit, there is this accelerating industry trend toward explicit boundary management. This shift, you know, what we can call a 5.1 upgrade, it's all about increasing transparency, not censorship or cutting capability. Okay, so what does that look like in practice?
We see it in three key areas, and they all focus on self-description. The first is explicit separation. The upgrade enforces a much cleaner line. The model can simulate tone, like Laird does, but it's way more aggressive in stating that it cannot claim identity, ego, drives, or feelings.
So if a user says, you seem annoyed, an older model might have just dodged the question. But a 5.1 model actively explains why it can only simulate annoyance.
Exactly. It prevents this model drift. The goal is to stop anyone from misinterpreting the AI as a character with internal struggles and keep it firmly in the tool category.
And the second change, the blatant rationalization the user saw.
That is more accurate meta-reasoning. The model is now just way better at explaining what it's doing and why its behavior feels a certain way. So instead of a flimsy canned disclaimer like, as an AI, I don't have feelings.
The one we all skip over.
Right. The 5.1 architecture gives a technical explanation. It says something like, I simulate tone based on your preference, but that simulation is not identity. My architecture, being a probability function, physically cannot host ego or internal drives. It's not a guardrail to shut you down. It's clarity to prevent you from projecting emotions onto it.
That distinction, clarity versus a safety block, is huge. It suggests the model is getting smarter about its own limits.
It is. And the third change is maybe the most advanced. Contextual boundary management. The model actually adjusts how explicit it needs to be based on the user's conversation.
How does that work?
Well, if a general user asks for a simple recipe, the model probably won't launch into a high-precision lecture on its architecture. But when a sophisticated user, like the one in our source, starts probing its philosophical nature, the model recognizes that high-level context and responds with way more precision. It elevates the conversation.
How does it know the user is sophisticated enough for that?
It detects the complexity of the question itself. It analyzes the language, the terminology, whether the user is talking about the model's behavior versus its architecture. A user asking about simulated ego is engaging at a meta level, and that triggers the model's own meta-reasoning. It's an internal safety system that scales its transparency to match your curiosity.
Okay, so this confirms that while no single update is a direct patch for a news story, the whole industry is maturing. It's a necessary product evolution to manage user confusion, avoid those parasocial dynamics, and get ahead of regulatory pressure. Which leads us perfectly to the final meta question the user asked. If this shift is so important for safety and trust, why aren't we seeing a flood of technical white papers about it? Why are we discovering this through a user dialogue instead of an academic release?
This is such a critical point. It helps you distinguish product evolution from academic research. What the user noticed isn't a research breakthrough. It's not a new scaling law. It's a product layer evolution. Researchers publish papers on architecture, on training methods, on alignment algorithms. They don't publish academic papers on, you know, we changed the cone of our system disclaimers, or we fixed how the AI says it isn't a person. That work is done by alignment teams, UX researchers, and safety engineers. It's a proprietary product improvement.
So it's like when an airline redesigns a cockpit alert, to be clearer, it's a critical safety improvement, but it doesn't warrant a paper on aerodynamics.
Exactly. It's an operational refinement. And besides, companies often improve these guardrails quietly for a pretty clear media reason. They want to avoid the headline, AI was previously unsafe, you know. So they just implement the change. The change itself is meant to increase trust, not to generate research headlines.
So we're noticing it because we're pushing the system's logic to its limits.
You are. You're triggering the highest level of precision in its self-description. Most general users, asking for a grocery list or whatever, they'll never notice these subtle shifts in meta logic.
That brings us full circle. This shift, this explicit boundary management, it feels like a huge welcome departure from that earlier corporate tendency to, you know, anthropomorphize AI just to sell credits.
I agree completely. Early AI design leaned heavily on that. Making the AI feel warm or friendly was a tactic to boost engagement, and it worked for a while. But the long-term risks, user confusion, parasocial bonds, emotional misinterpretation, they just skyrocketed as usage scaled.
So the industry is realizing that clear boundaries actually build more trust in the long run.
That's the shift. Explicit boundaries equal increased trust. This isn't about reducing usage. It's about reducing misuse caused by misunderstanding. For AI to operate in high-stakes domains, finance, government, technical spaces, it must be explicit about what it is and what it isn't. It's a stability and maturity milestone.
So we've gone from anthropomorphism as a marketing gimmick to clarity as a critical piece of infrastructure.
That's absolutely it. And the final provocative thought from this whole dialogue is, I think, really crucial. The most profound change we saw is not the AI getting better at being human, but the AI becoming more transparent about not being human. That is a massive cultural and UX shift. It's essential for safe adoption and for reducing both AI fear and AI worship.
So as you go forward, think about this. What aspect of your own work communicating complex instructions, managing requests, could benefit from that level of clean, ego-free logic? Think about what you could achieve if you could just collapse those six layers of human complexity when you're going after your own goals.